Sing to me of heaven. Let me finally dream of his golden glory, of his pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sing the sweetest song of all.
He went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came up to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's it. Good morning. Whether you are a Franklin family member, a visitor, or virtual guest, I am grateful that we're here this morning. Grateful that we can see each other and shake our hand, hug each other. But above all, grateful that the Lord gave us the opportunity to sing songs and worship among those who are with the saints. This morning, I encourage you to open your Bible in the book of Exodus, the 18th chapter. We're going to be reading the chapter, the verse 1. Then we're going to jump to 19, 20, and 21. This text will help us to go through the context of the lesson of this morning, which is humble or humbleness. In Exodus chapter 18, Jethro, which is Moses' father-in-law, priest of Midian, he heard all that God has done for Moses, you know, and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Just like the children of Israel walking through the wilderness on the desert, same thing as us. Once God brought us from the world, once he cleaned and washed away our sin, so we, just like the children of Israel, walking through this wilderness. And as we already know the history, it was so many challenges that Moses went through with the children of Israel. And we know how God helped Moses through that journey. Now Jethro, his father-in-law, heard about all those things and decided to go visit Moses and to give him advice. In the 19th verse, we read, Listen now to my voice, which is something that we need to do often. We need to be willing to listen to the word of God. I will give you counsel, he say, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people so that you might bring the difficulties to God. Verse 20, and you shall teach them the statutes and the laws and show them the way in which they must walk, and the work they must do. On verse 21, we find 5 points that we need to think this morning. Verse 21 say, Moreover, you shall select from all the people. The first one is able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of 50, and rulers of 10. We find these 4 points that Jethro advised to Moses to be able to deal with these crowd with the children of Israel. And these five rules applied back in the day to the children of Israel, and also these 5 points must apply for us now as the children of God in order to serve and work in the vine of the Lord. We sing that song, I want to work, or I want to be a worker for the vine of the Lord. We want to be a worker for the vine of the Lord, amen? But we must apply these 5 points, which is, first one, be able. That's the first one. The second one, we have to be men and women that fear God, not men and women that scare. Because oftenly, as a Christian, we're scared to other people when we come in to do something that we're not supposed to be doing. Sometimes we hire ourselves to do things in secret, things that we know that we're not be supposed to be doing, knowing that God see everything. But we're more scared than other people see us, knowing that God see everything that we do. But the Bible speaks that we must be fear God. Third point is that we got to be men and women of truth. We got to speak to one another. We have to be true with ourselves. Then we have 4 points, then we gotta hate the communists. And this is a problem. Sometimes we think then only happens to those who have so much. But y'all gonna be surprised. Sometimes we can be greedy with less. As I'm speaking right now this morning, there is a Christian like you and I that couldn't come and worship the Lord because they has to be at the job or attending the business for a few more dollars. Not for $1,000, not for $1 million, for a couple of cents, for a couple of dollars. Then the fifth point is that we have to be know how to rule or direct. Now, but these 4-5 points that I just mentioned is impossible without the foundation. And that's what I want to speak this morning about. You're not going to be able to be able. You and I not going to be able to fear God. You and I not going to be able to be true one another. We're not going to be able to hate covenant or rule if we are not humble. If we don't practice humbleness, it's impossible that these 4-5 points applies to us. Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 19, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ say, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he say, for I am gentle and lowly in your heart, and you will find rest for you, for your soul. Yeah. None of these points, 5 points that I mentioned, will be sustainable if we don't have no foundation. And the foundation here is humble or humbleness. Sometimes it's so hard for us to be humble. And even so hard because we're not humble enough to know where when we're not humble. Yeah. It's something that we have to pay attention in our own life. When we read Zechariah, the 9th chapter, verse 9. The Bible says, rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the more highest example of humbleness. When we read about the kings of Israel, we normally read that those kings used to possess horses, cars, and so many stuff. But there is the creator of the world, the Almighty, riding in a donkey. But sometimes the way we act, the way we think that we're more than God. We think that we are more than God because we're not humble enough to not even accept who we are in His presence. And it's impossible to please God. It's impossible to serve God if we humble or humbleness is not part of us. Humbleness must to be part of our identity. It's like in New Orleans, we like seafood, we eat jambalaya and gumbo. Humbleness must to be part of us. Humbleness must to be reflect in every part of our life, in everything that we are. Humbleness, or being humble, must to be part of that living sacrifice to serve the Lord. The problem with us many times is that we're not humble enough to grow because lack of humility is in a way to grow spiritually. It's necessary to listen to the Word of God. It's necessary that we must open our heart to the Word of God. Being humble helps us to keep a good relationship with God and with His creatures. It's necessary. As a Christian, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter, as a co-worker, we must to humble ourselves in order to keep a good relationship with God and those who are around us. There is a language which we already know, and it's the Greek. And it's something that is amazing about the Greek language, about the Hebrew language, is that the Hebrew language is so beautiful because you can use so many words. In Hebrew, you use one word and got so many meanings. Like, for example, when you say one word in Hebrew, can mean even 16 or 8 words in Spanish or in English. And I find this word, two words in Hebrew, which is mean the same. The first one is ani, and the second one is anav. The word ani and anav mean humble, meek, poor, afflicted, meek. And it means the same thing. Ani and anav mean the same thing. Mean humble, meek, lowly, poor, and afflicted. But have two different contexts. When you use the word ani, which is meek, humble, poor, afflicted, is someone that is meek, lowly, is poor, afflicted, but not by choice. It's because somebody or someone or the system forced him to be ani. Y'all with me? Yeah. I'm going to say this again. And I'm going to give you some simple example. Like when you go to Cuba, people in Cuba live meek, humble, poor, afflicted. Not by choice, but because of the system. They forced to be meek. They forced to be humble and live in humbleness. And I'm pretty sure that it's not something that they want to be living like that, because when they come to U.S., believe me, they change, total change. And somehow in America right now, we're living a little bit of our knee. And I'm pretty sure nobody here is so happy to pay taxes and everything. And I'm the first one. Believe me, I got to pay taxes on every week paycheck. You know, then out of that left, so I got to pay taxes on gas, property taxes, food taxes. You know, basically, you know, I'm a knee on it. But then we find the word anav, which have the same meaning. Poor, humble, afflicted, meek, lowly. But anav is when you decided to be by choice. It's your choice. And it's a something that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ applied to himself when he came to earth. He decided by choice, being humble, being lowly, meek, afflicted, poor. And he encouraged us to be the same way. Because there is a blessing when we decided to be humble. It's a blessing when we decided to be afflicted. It's a blessing when we decided to be lowly. There is a blessing when we decided to be humble. The lack of humility in us as a human is something that delayed our growing spiritually and slow our communion with God. And it's something that has to do with one of the most older sin that began in heaven. In the book of Isaiah, the 14th chapter, verse 12 to 15. Read with me. How you are fell from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nation. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will excel my throne above the star. Above the star of God. I will also sit on the mount of the creation and the father's side of the north. When you and I decided not to be humble, when you and I decided not to be meek, when you and I decided not to be poor or be afflicted, we're taking the same attitude as Satan take in heaven. And it's serious, because when we decided to be that way, it's impossible to have communion with God. It's impossible to lead. It's impossible to fear God. It's impossible to be truthful. It's impossible to help others. Because in the process, that make you think that you're the only one that can do things better and nobody else can do it like how you do. And it's reality. Happening in marriage, happening in the church, that's happening at the job. That's why men in marriage can grow. Because the man think that just because he's the macho, the wife can't have no opinion. Happen in church. Sometimes the preacher is the nurse. He's the one who drives the van. He's the one who cleaned the building. He's the doctor. He's the one who go pray. He's the one who made the phone call, because he's the one that preach, teach, because he think that nobody else can do it better by him. But when we decided to be humble, we're going to have the ability to lead. We're going to be humble enough. Then knowing that not just because the person is 5 or 2 years, but what he's going to read is going to be the word of God. And as a preacher, just because I'm doing it 10, 20, or 30 years, I must be humble enough to sit down, because what he about to speak is from the word of God. Same way to lead. Maybe I don't know how to broom, pass the broom or pass the vacuum like a brother band does. But if he humble, he gonna understand that. Even if you come back behind me, brother band. Yes, yeah. When we humble ourselves, we're going to be able to create leaders. When we humble ourselves as a husband and wife, our whole soul will be better. When we become humble with each other, the church of the Lord, will grow. When you find a preacher, a deacon, elder, secretary, husband, wife, sons or daughters with a lack of humility or not humble, it's impossible that peace be in the household. Ain't no way it's going to be harmony, because the spirit of Satan is there. There is no ableness when you not humble. There is no truth when you decide not to be humble. You're not going to fear God. You're not going to have, or you're not going to hate kindness if you're not humble. If you're not humble, you're not going to be able to lead in the vine of the Lord. It's amazing how the world and the society teaches to be high. The society and the world teaches that if you got a better or more properties, the society teaches me if I got a better or more expensive car, I'm going to be more important. And as high as you have, or as high as you get, the society and the world teaches that you are better. That's the word teaches. That's what the word teaches. But the Lord, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, teaches to be lowly. Because it is a blessing there. James, the 4 chapters, verse 6 and 7 say, But he gives more grace. Therefore, he say, God resists the proud, but give grace to the who? To the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the evil devil, and he will flee from you. Many times, we're not humble enough to give our battles, our fight to the Lord. Many times, we think that we can do and resolve situations by ourselves. And we claim that we believe in God, but yeah, God, I'm going to keep you just right there in that corner. Wait right there. Let me try to solve the situation. Once I see myself struggling, then I'm going to pull you up. And we claim that he is our helper. We claim that he is our God. But yeah, let me try on my way first. If I feel like I need you, I'm going to let you know. But stay right there on that corner. But this morning, he's telling us to learn from him, because he is gentle and he is lowly in his heart. And that's what he wants from us. He want to fight our battle. Because when we show him that we are weak, then we are poor, that we are afflicted, he fight for us and he make us stronger. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is our greatest example. John 13, verse 15, the Bible says, "For I have give you an example," he say, "that you shall do as I have done to you." He did one of the most humiliated things that used to be back in the days. When you was as a guest or visitor in a Jew household, they used to send the servant or the slave and wash your feet. But now we see the King of the universe, the Creator, God in the flesh, washing his disciples' feet. And he said that he did it as an example, that you shall do as I have done with you. But not just that, he also say, "But it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life." Matthew 20:26-28. Philippians, second chapter, verse 5-8. The word of God say, "Let him mean be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider his rivalry to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and be found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, and even death of the cross." That's what we're calling anath. He did this not because somebody forced him, but he did it for you and for me so that we can have redemption and for his blood, forgiveness of sin. But sometimes our attitude is totally different. The way we act, the way that we conduct our life, we think that we are more than God. But he encouraged us, he invited us to have his same mind. But not just that. Before the prayer, our brother was reading about Paul. From the moment that Paul was confronted by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we talk about Paul, someone who have a power from the priests and the governors to persecute the Christian, but when he found himself be confronted by the Lord, he said that he decided not to be disobedient to the heavenly voice. How we doing with that? How we doing with the will of God in our life? Something that we have to know is that the mercy and the justice of God not allow him to force us to do things in order to do his will in the any way. He want us to do his will on anav, voluntarily. And Paul is an example of that as a disciple, as we are. When we read Philippians 3, 7 to 9, Paul say, verse 7, but what thing were gained to me, those I have contend loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Enough. Paul wasn't forced to be poor. He wasn't forced to be afflicted. He decided to be one. He decided to be lowly. And something that we need to understand is that being meek, lowly, poor, afflicted, doesn't make you a weak person. And one of the greatest examples that you probably heard in school is the horse. The horse is a strong and fast and powerful animal. But once you decided to domestic a horse, even a 2-year-old can direct a horse. But that doesn't mean that he's a weak. He just retained his power. Yeah. And it's something that we need to know. There is a blessing for those who decided to be meek, to those who decided to be lowly, to those that decided to be humble. I love Psalms. Psalm 25, verse 9, Bible say, the humble, he get the justice, and the humble, he teach his way. Want to read some more? Chapter 34, verse 2. My soul shall make about in the Lord, the humble shall hear of the, what? To be glad. 37, verse 11. But the meek shall, what? Inherit the earth. And shall lay themselves in abundance of peace. Finally, Psalm chapter 149, verse 4, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people, and he will beauty the humble with what? With salvation. For those that are not in Christ yet, what is holding you to give your heart to the Lord? To humble yourself to the Lord. So he can reward you with salvation. Today is a good opportunity to begin. If you believe that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, humble yourself and confess with your mouth. And be baptized. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. For those who already are in Christ, if you are not living a humble life, today is a good day to start it. And by being humble, you're going to be able to work for the vine of the Lord. You're going to be able to fear the Lord with your heart, with your soul. You're going to be able to be truthful. A true Christian. A truthful with yourself. You're going to be able to reject all those things they don't allow you to grow spiritually. By being humble, you're going to be able to lead, to rule in the vine of the Lord. The invitation is open this morning as we stand and sing.